only time you look in your neighbor's bowl is to make sure that they have enough. You don't look in your neighbor's bowl to see if they have as to make sure you have as much as them. You want to just make sure that they are.
If you're looking at some calcium
chocolate? You can have a calcium chocolate. Make sure your sister gets one too.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Will Koontz back with you here on RadioSaintPete.com. Feeling a little silly today. Sorry, I'm excited, man. I'm going on a cruise in a few days. I'm leaving the country for a nice long weekend. I haven't had really even a day off in months, let alone a place that's like not here. And I love it here, don't get me wrong, but I'm ready to go somewhere else for just a few days. I'm going on a nice cruise to Nassau, me and a couple buds doing a dude's trip. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it's spring break anymore, so probably there's not a bunch of pretty college girls running around on the boat, but maybe some pretty older ladies on the boat. Who knows? That lake... goofy, ugly dudes like me. Hey, things have happened that are crazy all the time. So, you know, it could happen. Who knows? So, yeah, I'm ready to go. I wish it was Thursday today. Well, technically, actually, when you hear this, I'm actually probably driving back. Or I'm dead and I fell off the boat. Either way, good news for you. So, yeah, I'm stoked. I recorded this one a little earlier in the week. This week on the Homemade Broadcast, we have Comatic. I think they're just going by Comatic now, but they used to run this Comatic Studios, which was this warehouse, and it was a studio. They did a bunch of shows there, and they're going to tell us a story about their existence and their brief past and their exciting future and what they're doing in the present. It was a really good talk with those folks, so they'll be coming up momentarily. Thank you again to our sponsors, which I was going to say Sly Bar, but I think I saw their Instagram today. I believe they're called Tap House 61 now. Very ingenious name, Joe, if I may say so. He told me he might do that, and I was like, what are you going to rename it as? And he goes, I was thinking Tap House 61, because, you know, the address is 2061. I'm like, yeah, I know. So I think it's – I still listen to Facebook as Sly Bar. So Sly Bar, Tap House 61, either way, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Go in and see them, have a drink. They redid everything. It's beautiful in there. And I think they're still working on it, but they are working tediously, and it's already looks great. So go see them. Thank you, Joe, for sponsoring. And, of course, Truby Salon and Spa, Chrissy Parker, my gal. I went in there and got a haircut from her. I don't know how girls notice that you get haircuts, but, like, I didn't even notice when she was done. But I think it's just because I don't really care. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just grew my hair for 5 years, and I don't really care what it looks like, per se. But I went and saw my friends this weekend. We went and got some drinks, and one of my friends, Nicole, goes, hey, you got a haircut. And I was like, how the hell did you know that? They just have this sixth sense for this stuff. They notice things, at least in that regard. But I guess 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Make an appointment, 727-329-9751. You can find them online at Truvy Salon and Spa. That's T-R-U-V, as in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. Whew. Thank you all very much for being a sponsor. Let's just get into it this week. We got a great talk with Comatic telling us about what's going on in St. Pete. So let's get to it. Homemade broadcast, Radio St. Pete, Comatic Studios. All right, we got Comatic Studios.
Woo!
In a homemade broadcast this week.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, 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 Will.
What's going on, Will?
So introduce yourselves to everybody. Go ahead, Jason. We'll start with you.
All right, my name is Jason Beck. I'm part of the Comatic crew. Sit on the board. We've been going at it for about 2 years for me so far, doing shows and whatnot.
I'm Kaimisha Ray. It's been about 4 years that I've been working at this project.
Right on. Chuck Turgeon. Started working with them a couple of years ago and did a lot of shows out of the space we had, and that was really exciting.
But there's about 250, and you're the one that basically got the open mic going.
Yeah, but I love the direction we're going in now, too. So
yeah, it's fun time. I'm glad you called, like I said.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know a Comatic. I've been quite a few times for the comedy events and things like that.
Yeah.
So, but people who don't know, tell us what Comatic was doing, what it's doing now, and kind of what the future is.
Okay, you guys pop in at all. So Comatic was a warehouse building that Kaimisha started, and the idea was to help new and upcoming artists, to provide them a stage, a platform to get them seen and heard. And my background is theater, and then went into film, and so we had the capability to get this content for them by filming them. And so that was part of it, and we were doing, like when you came, Anything Under the Sun. We had that comedy show where you sat with me as a judge. It was a really unique idea that Nathan came up with, a fellow comedian, and basically anything anybody came to us that was cool, hip, something that, you know, that you would just say to yourself sitting around with friends, God, that would be a great idea. Let's do that. And that's what it was about. And so we just started doing it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So Comatic was just a warehouse. It's just a big warehouse space. But throw some curtains, build a stage, put some lights on it, and all of a sudden it's the opportunity for magic to happen. And so then it takes a little bit of organizing around those things and then taking good ideas and really helping project manage them and flush them out a little bit to where people will show up and the event will go smoothly, and that the artists themselves, this is the key thing, they feel free enough to experiment but also to shine. And we did a lot of that, and a lot of artists were really appreciative. They really felt comfortable is what they would say, like
yeah,
a lot on our stage.
That was it, trying to make, because that's where we really got off on, brand new people and trying to not only do the show for them but have them do their own show. And there was a couple cases of that, going back to the comedic show, that was Nathan's idea,
yeah,
and we just helped him implement it. That's when it was really fun, when we were all working together, you know.
We got to see a lot of artists come in very fresh, not really having ever performed in front of people before, and watch them grow over a few years to the point where they were organizing their own shows, where they were coming up with their own ideas and going out and performing professionally, like downtown at other venues. So seeing artists have that space to learn and grow, and exactly like Chuck said, experiment, that's really kind of like the role that it has, like an incubator.
Yeah,
it was kind of people would approach you and say, this is my idea, and you would say yes or no. And I think it was more times yes than not. Did you ever have to tell anybody no?
Very seldom. There were times, actually, where we would say yes, and then they would flake on us.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that.
That
yeah.
I know how that goes. That was more of the case that we would deal with than having to say no. To me, I think.
We ended up, though, just coming up with a lot of great ideas and then end up throwing a lot of the shows together ourselves. So the primary amount of shows that we did were different theme shows. We did a live electronica, but live performances of that theme show. We did live band theme shows, hip-hop shows, soul shows, different themes, and we just did them on the reg. And and then there would be the comedy shows, like Nathan's ideas and
the late night.
And the late night show we did, we filmed.
Yeah, I really like the late. I've watched quite a few of those. That was a really great idea.
There were some variety shows that were really cool.
Yeah, Natasha Samreni put together a variety show with both comedians, really good singer-songwriters, and there was a little theater, I think, in there, too. And did an amazing job. So, you know, some people came in and they had some skills, need a little bit of guidance, but we found out that we tended to, if we generated the show and it took a lot of the production side of things, that we got better results. You know, if you have an idea, though, we have a stage. That's what Jesus used to say all the time.
Yeah, what Kymisha said, too, one of the most rewarding things about doing this is the artists that follow through, they keep persistent. Mm-hmm. We were at the Iberian Rooster last night, and there was this dual girl and guy, AB positive, and we were watching, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're incredible. They're very young. And after it was over, I came up. I said, man, you guys were – that was awesome. I mean, really good. And he goes, we played a Chymatic. You don't remember me? I was like, oh, yeah.
A lot of people have been through those stories. Yeah.
But obviously they improved to such an extent.
Such a level of transformation that you could hardly recognize them.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was awesome to see that maybe we helped out in a little way. And if we could do that for anyone, it's just – that's an awesome feeling to see someone grow and that you helped, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a cool space that you had there. And then what happened with the space? I kind of know the story.
Yeah.
But you all could fill us in entirely.
Yeah, and I want to – you know, there's a lot of – so what happened was this. The area started to develop. They were getting a lot more people in the Warehouse Art District. And our door, the front door, the big bay door is like 16-foot – I mean, just gigantic door broke.
Before the roof had been leaking for 4 years anyway.
Yeah.
Every single time it rained, we would basically spend the entire time that it was raining dealing with a flood on most of the back end of the warehouse anyway. So it was...
And even had to have a bucket on the stage.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
So then in the other aspect, we'd already been putting a lot of money into even getting the place up just on the basics of the fire code. With the electricity and whatnot, we were not up to fire code. And so we put a good $2,500 in to get the space itself up to a basic level.
Now, you were renting, though,
correct?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is stuff that the landlord should have done.
Yes.
These are all things that they should have done.
Right.
And
so basically what happened, though, is like the door breaks. It was broken for months.
In the summer. And there's no air conditioning, as I'm sure you remember.
Yes, I do.
And so they got a new management company, the building owner did, and they said, hey, we noticed you guys have been on a month-to-month lease. We want to come in and have you sign a new lease. And we're like, okay, cool. They come in, but we were like, we need to have the door fixed before we sign a new lease.
And maybe the roof?
Yeah, the roof, too. That would have been nice, not having to have a bucket on the stage.
You can take your time on it and all, but mainly the door.
The door
is the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's incentive for him to fix this. His roof is going to fall in. His warehouse is going to be gone.
Right. Their response was they wanted to increase the rent.
They came in on the day. Mm-hmm. The day that they came in.
With no forewarning.
We didn't see the new lease agreement until they came in. They're like, oh, we want you to sign this today, by the way, but we're increasing the rent by like 40-something percent.
Wow.
And we're like, well, we need to think about this. First off, we need the door fixed. And then we need to think about whether or not we can sustainably manage that. And before we even had a chance, it degenerated quickly. But before that was on about the 15th. Before the end of the month, we had a notice to vacate.
Is it anybody in it now?
Yes.
Oh, somebody did rent it back up?
Yeah, probably at twice of what they were charging.
Yeah.
So
that's what we heard.
That's what I'm concerned with all the great things that are happening in the city. There's the properties is going up. It's more expensive to live here. It's more expensive to work here. And that's going to be more of a common theme. I worry that eventually I'm going to get booted out of here. Do you guys live in St. Pete?
Yep.
Yeah.
We do. We're kind of, right now we don't want to commit to a space again because of that, what happened before.
Right. Sure.
So.
Unless we can know that Chymatic Inc. itself will own the property and it'll be there.
Yeah. That, we can get that into the future section because that's where
we're
going.
And that is, when we get
so
there. So we'll
basically
talk about
we were without a home though and without purpose. You know, we had been doing all this magic and watching all these people grow and getting such a great sense of like contribution ourselves and just like knowing that we were helping make magic happen. And then we were like, we don't have a space. We had to, we had to get rid of so much stuff.
So much that we had built, much that we had invested in.
Yeah, you had sound equipment, you had a stage.
We gave most of everything away.
Wow.
I think the only thing we really kept was the sound equipment. Mm-hmm. We even gave all of our lighting away. Mm-hmm. Like, we gave the stage away. We gave everything away. Like, we... It was crazy.
Yeah, it was so dark.
In like less than a week, we had to clear everything out, and that was the hilarious part. That was a fun experience.
So at that point, were you kind of like, "Well, if this is done, Comatic's dead. I'm walking away."
No, not at all.
None of us. We actually like. I think we felt stronger in some ways, but we're like we're more determined because
we had to recover
it.
A little bit.
Right.
I was a little depressed.
Yeah, that's a big blow for
it
sure.
It was a massive blow.
But
for
we
sure.
were determined, and. We talked about doing, you know, maybe doing the show, like the late night show, but doing it at different locations and doing.
A lot of people were open too.
Yeah,
so we had
a lot
some
of places were lined up, and but we just were like, well, let's think about it, and we talked about doing a little video production company outside of Kymatic that could do Kymatic stuff as well as others, but we just were really slow getting started, and we kind of languished for a little bit. We got some good equipment though, and.
It kind of almost seemed like a happy accident the way you figured out the new form of what's really working well now. Like the way you three really, Damien back there, hello. you know, the way you three really figured out how to make the system that you currently have.
And that happened, we'll blame it on Damien here actually. Damien was, before we closed our doors, he's like, hey, I don't know what you guys are doing after this, you know what I mean? But, we work great together. We, you know, we're solid. We always show up. Everybody, you know, maybe you, Jason, and I, Damien said this, should form a video production thing. We'll just do stuff we want to do. And we're like, that sounds great. And we started to build that, you know, conceptually and figure out what it was going to do, but we just didn't really get anything off the ground. And then Jason recently was like...
Itching.
And so he literally just told me, he goes, Chuck... Grab your camera. Let's go shoot something tonight. And I'm like, what are we shooting, Jason?
That's always been my style. Yeah. You know, it's just like,
me too, man.
I don't care about the details. Let's just do it. Let's and that's why you're doing this and why we just do it. We don't wait. And I think it was a college. Kymatic was like kind of college. Chuck was shooting. Damien had come in real early shooting the late night shows. We were getting all this practice in. I was doing that carnival bark all the time. And so when we come up with this idea, Kymatic on location, the first one, we looked at it. We could get it out faster. We could edit it. We could do the same thing. We could provide artists with information about venues that help them out. We could rocket ship it out in like a day to 2 days. And I was like over the moon. I was like, whoa, this is what I want to do. And we've done 13 in about 3 weeks. 10 of which are up. But
already produced.
It's been so much fun. I mean, it's been so much
fun.
We're back out in it. I can see the artists. You know, you get to interact with them. Who's hot? Who's doing what? You know, and it's just like, I was like, wow. And I'm sorry we even had a warehouse. It's like, this is almost
well,
better.
this is the great thing about what you're doing too, is that you can live online and have a studio of some kind for free.
Yeah.
You got Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have YouTube. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to pay. You can go and you can put on shows at other venues. You can do your show that's going to put the venue in the spotlight.
Yes.
And then you can do the artist. It's a win-win-win-win for everybody.
No cleaning bathrooms, getting paper towels. I mean, they're doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they help cross-promote for you because they want – yeah, it's perfect.
And our reach has expanded exponentially because of that, because when we had our own space, we had – there was something seriously magic, both about our open mic that we did – and having our own space. There is, but it was a lot of work, and you only were exposed to those that came to the venue or watched your channel specifically. Now what happens is we are going to different artists and different venues. We're exposed to every one of those different artists' network as well as the venue's network, and then they can keep using this kind of as a way to show that they're helping artists out and on the regular. So it's very win-win-win-win-win-win.
I think also a big thing with the last space is it wasn't really set up for what we were trying to do. I think that a lot of the time, effort, and energy went into just making it functional for what we were trying to do. And so I think that, you know...
Meaning that it wasn't a finished product, so you felt like you were having to put some of your energy into getting it ready as opposed to just being there.
It was just never really set up for what we wanted. There was... you know, it was a really hard space to make work for what we were trying to accomplish there.
Well, the thing too about it is you really have to just get a crash course. This is what I found out pretty late in life. You have to just do it. You'll figure it out. You're smart. You'll figure it out. And, you know, you're going to have some roadblocks in the way. You're going to have some failures. But you learn from those things. And then the next time, it's going to be better.
Yeah, that's it. And then the thing is, you look at the bad event later on, you go, that's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah, you learned so much. Yeah. That's right. Believe me, I've had plenty of those. Yeah,
exactly. You almost want it to happen now. Not right now. I'm fine. Maybe later. I don't know.
So is the show kind of like a weekly thing, or how are you doing it?
Right now it's just spontaneous, and we're getting a lot of feedback. So initially, we just started with one, and then somebody said, come check mine out. Somebody drove like an hour to come see us. We started putting out
events where we were going to actually be filming ahead of time.
Yeah, letting people know where we're going to be at. And then now it's daisy chain. Right?
Yeah.
It's just one to the next. And we're just trying to keep up and not get buried, because twos are in the bag that have not been edited right now, so we kind of don't.
And we're filming again on Thursday.
We're filming right now, so we got to wrap these up. It's taking 5-6 hours to edit.
Sometimes,
roughly.
Yeah,
that's the trouble with. I don't even edit audio, and part of that is because I like the idea of having a radio type format, but also because I'm lazy.
Yeah,
frankly, I'm not.
That's part of getting it out. That's why I say half-ass is better than not at all.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, when you're working three jobs and you're doing this as a hobby, trying to get something done with this, I mean, you know, you got to do what you can do. Of course, you want to put out a good product. That's important, but you also have to put out a product in general.
Exactly.
I've noticed this a lot with musicians. I don't know if you all have noticed the same thing.
Did you just say we have to put out?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of the
deal. Part of the show. Everybody. I didn't tell you about that. Brother.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I told you beforehand.
But just you two. It'll be all right.
You can record. We'll get Damon in here. So I don't know if you notice this with musicians, but I've musician friends who have a really hard time releasing their music.
Yeah.
They'll spend so
much
time.
Perfection.
Yeah. Comedians too. Same thing.
Yep.
I'll go, hey, I got, I did this event in, the Creative Loafing Space a couple years ago. And I said, hey, I got this guy who's going to film. He's going to plug right into the mixer. You have a nice tape. I'd like to release this thing as what Tampa Bay comedy can do. Nobody took me up on that.
Wow.
Didn't want it. Because their rationale is, I'm not giving you my stuff, meaning that I'm going to tell my jokes and then somebody's going to steal it. And it's kind of an arrogant point of view. I know it can possibly happen, sure. But what are the odds that they're going to steal somebody's joke from Tampa? And if it's on the internet, then you can say, this is my joke. Look, I got it in July 2015.
Right.
No, I got a cross story that goes exactly with that. We were at an event. It's not important who, but the musician was up on stage singing, and I was doing that Flower Van production where we would interview people, and we were always out looking. I loved this guy. I loved his song, everything. So I popped up my camera to get some tape so I could give it to my partner, Brian, and he checked me and he said, this doesn't have a copyright, or you cannot film. You know what I mean? And I understand that, but it was a real turnoff. And I was like, do I really want to work that guy?
What are you doing it for if you don't want people to see it?
I know, right?
What's the point?
And if you're telling jokes that are that damn good, you can make up another one. You know what I'm saying?
That's true,
that's right.
That's another side of that coin, yeah. But, you know, that's fine. But I felt like, geez, I brought this freaking guy out, you know, and luckily I didn't pay him, but he just kind of wanted I want to film to meet these people. I like to make movies.
Yeah.
And he didn't really benefit from that at all. So it was kind of a bummer. But especially it seems like musicians are like that.
Yeah. I think anybody that's
Chuck, you can answer
really, that. Yeah, I'm a musician as well. I definitely would get like that. I think it can happen. Basically, you know you can do better. And or you're like, well, you know, I just want it to be perfect because you may not record that again, that particular song or whatever. And you're like, So I get it, but once again, I've actually recorded a 5-song EP, did all of the recording for at least 2 songs, but couldn't make some key decisions on like how much effect to use on something, and I didn't put it out, even those songs that I had finished, because I just got debilitated by the indecision. And so that's why it's really important, and one of the reasons I like working with Jason.
That's where I come in,
Because, well, honestly, I trust on a lot of things. I trust his opinion, to both be honest, and or he gets at least the vision I'm coming from as well. And so it allows me to bounce ideas that I'm not sure, as well as challenge. You know, all right, this could work either way. What do you think? All right.
So it's just being self-conscious, right, of your own, what you're putting out.
Yeah.
And how have you found the best way to get over that? Or have you haven't gotten honestly, over it? Yet.
Have someone
no,
like
I
me.
I
say,
get over it all the time.
Yeah,
I mean,
stop it, Chuck. It's good enough. Let's
go. Exactly.
Because Chuck will. Chuck's like that too. He has perfection. He can do the audio. You know, he's doing all the visual editing, and you can get to a point. I mean, it can get good. You can have when the one guy turns, you match it up perfectly, go into the next clip. I mean, that's sweet, but that takes a while, especially if you got two cameras. You have to go through all this. At some point, you have to balance that out and say, you know what? It looks good. It sounds good. Let's put it out.
Because that's where you guys, like you both were saying before, content, just getting it out. Because without getting it out, guess what you have?
Nothing.
Zilch.
Exactly. I wonder if that's what I know a lot of, you know, my friends that are performers of some kind, musicians that sound to me, you know, I don't have a defined ear necessarily, but sound really good to me. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's part of, like, I'm a big believer in being in the right place at the right time and luck to a certain extent.
Yep.
So those people, but also those people who don't have the gumption to just get themselves out there, it holds it back. It makes room for people who will.
So there's two rules, basically, I try to adhere to, and they are almost at odds with each other. One of them is to get it out there. Because you want to expand your reach. You know, if no one hears your music or your content, then you're not reaching them, and you're limiting your ability to do anything with your content. But the other one is put out stuff, or feature rather, because, you know, stuff's going to get out there one way or the other. But always on anything that's your site, you own, whatever, your best foot forward should always be the first thing people see. So you should always look bigger than you are. Anything you're doing, any kind of content you're putting
out. That's kind of like the Barnum and Bailey way of doing things.
Yeah, that's probably the way I bark. I just turn up me, though. I mean, you know me. I'm already high energy.
Yeah.
Just crank that up, you know, and that's not that tough.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's what you have to do to get through everything nowadays.
That's a common thing I tell artists, too, though, is that be you. Magnify your magic. Be you times
two. That's it,
Whatever it is that you're doing that is unique to your personality, just be a little bit more animated about it. And one, it won't matter if someone steals your joke because they're not going to do it like you do.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so be vivid. Be vivid and just like do you times two.
That's a good point because it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they just
delivery,
found a way
timing.
Yep, no doubt. So what do you guys, I mean, so you got the show now and then you're thinking about perhaps, you know, maybe getting a new spot?
Yes, we got something. Kaimisha's been working on that for a while now. We have two other individuals. We have our lawyer named Gary and Shiloh, who's wrote.
Shiloh Capone and Gary Butler. They're our two new board members that we just brought on this year. Shiloh's a really experienced grant writer. She's worked with other nonprofits before, and she's been absolutely incredible in helping us through this process. So what we're submitting at the end of May is a grant with Wells Fargo that's specifically a property acquisition grant. So we're looking for a location in St. Petersburg, hopefully, fingers crossed, who knows. And we're looking for something like 2 to 5 acres, and so we're going to have kind of similar facilities as what we were trying to offer at our own location, only this time it'll be better. Way better.
And we can't get gentrified out.
It'll just keep building on itself. So we'll have a recording studio, we'll have a computer lab, we'll have a workshop with shared tools, we'll have a performance space and a stage, we'll have a communal kitchen. And the concept with this is that the people that can live on the property will be the mentors and the staff. Mentors to kind of give guidance and help, kind of like what was already occurring at our last space, only we're putting a little bit more of a structure to it. What's really wonderful about like the past 4 years and seeing that development, and especially with how much we flew the past 2 years since, 2.5 really, since Jason and Chuck started working on this with us, is that we were able to really look at what was working and what was naturally occurring and take that model and give it structure moving forward. So with what we'll be doing in the new space, we'll have all these things for artists to come in. They'll have a membership. They can use all the facilities and the tools to work on whatever it is that they will. And then we'll also be offering scholarships for certain artists to come. They can live there, stay on the property, and finish whatever project it is, whether it's a film, music. They're trying to finish an album, or maybe they're trying to finish a painting series, or maybe they're just are interested in doing woodwork, or maybe they just want to learn how to work on a film. But they can write in, they can get a scholarship to come stay and work within the facility.
Is this going to be limited to people who are living in Tampa Bay or the country?
I would imagine that most of the memberships, the people who will actively use the membership, are going to be people in the Tampa Bay and are in close proximity. But I would say that the scholarships are open to anybody. I mean, we hadn't specifically addressed that on our board and decided on that, but, I mean, can
yeah,
we get
I personally, I have no preference. You know what I mean? If you got some magic and you want to manifest it.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Why not apply?
Yeah, it's almost kind of like you're building, like, a college or some...
In a sense, but more specific, I think. So the other really specific thing that we're changing about the way we're designing this whole facility is we're focusing a lot on sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
We are hopefully going to be working with this new company. They're kind of starting out. They're called Living Forward, and they're specifically focused on sustainable architecture. So we just met with them for the first time this past week, and so we're still having conversations about how exactly to move forward on this. We are doing a fundraiser at the end of May to raise the funds to get the initial blueprints and designs for the property. So we still haven't figured out the date on that, have we?
No, we're looking for a location, actually. So this will be a good thing.
You can do it at my apartment if you want.
We can. This would be awesome.
We're looking for like 100 to 150 capacity venue if we can. I mean, we could do something smaller slightly, but we're looking for something like that. It's a benefit. We're trying to raise money, so it would be best if we didn't have to pay for the
sure.
space. Because otherwise we can't raise as much money.
We're looking to raise between $5,000 and $10,000 to get the initial designs for the property. And part of getting those initial designs and the budget laid out is a part of the process of applying for the grant. So
do you have to have a piece of property in mind already before you apply for the grant?
We have two in mind, but we don't like the location. We looked at one in Tarpon and another one in Palm Harbor, but neither one of those locations really appealed to us as far as where our group already is. All of our people are here in St.
Right,
Pete.
Yeah.
And this is really where we want to be. So Chuck is actually working on seeing if we can talk with the city potentially. The
city has a bunch of city-owned property, but there's usually requirements for even purchasing them from the city. And so we're gonna look into that because I'm not sure, you know, but I know a little bit about it. And I know that it has to be used for something specific. That's why they're hanging on to the property.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to look at that and see if there's something that where our sustainable/artist development community can find a home. And then we're not asking the city to give it to us. We're looking to purchase it with whatever monies we can get together through grants and to really, you know, create. There already is so much happening here in St. Pete, so much magic and so many artists. There's even artist community kind of things. This would be our brand, you know, which would be similar to what we were talking about before we were on air, where it's that, not school of hard knocks, but that school of just get it done. And so in a way, it is kind of like a college, but you don't necessarily need to know, and it's you're not necessarily going to, I mean, maybe there will be like mentorships with specific types of artists. But like it's really the process of production and making it happen, the follow through. And
I think a lot of people that do know what they're doing would be drawn to something like that just because if you have all these tools that are available, they're going to want to share what they do anyways.
And that's, I think, really what we're hoping for, you know, the whole, like, if you build it, they will come
idea. Yeah, yeah.
I think what's going to be really neat is just seeing what I'm most excited about personally is, like, seeing a sustainable model. We're basing it off of a few other projects that are actually working in other parts of the world. There's a project in London that we've been looking at and kind of modeling some of the ways we'll be doing things. There's there's a fellow that I've been researching recently called Will Allen in Milwaukee, and his thing is called Growing Power, and it's urban food production. And so I'm looking at a few of these different things and being like, oh, that looks like it'll work really well. Let's borrow the way they do that, or let's borrow the way we do that, and using them as examples to say, like, look, these kinds of models really have an incredibly, like, beneficial effect on the surrounding area, socially, environmentally, and economically. And so being able to use those type of things to specifically target the arts community, I think, is going to be different. I think it's going to be, I think it will be different. It'll be, like, the first thing here that does it that way.
It for sure needs it, because the way things are going with how people are getting priced out,
exactly.
This is why St. Pete is what it is because of people like you all and other artists. This is why it's cool to live here. This is people why they want to live here. So they have to keep some sort of, they have to
or
keep
it goes
us here,
away. Or it goes away.
And then we'll go somewhere else. Everybody will just pick up and go to Pinellas Park. I know is starting to,
they
build
did
their
a
scene there.
Real cool project. I remember that open, and that was council members just getting together and saying, This area right here is terrible. Let's buy it up and let's do it. That was awesome what they did. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed.
That's the Cove, right? You're
they
talking
did
about
the
Derek
shipping
Thomas?
Container
on
buildings
Park in,
out there.
Park in 55, 56.
Maybe, somewhere around there,
Yeah, there's just that line of empty bars. I think that's all it used to be.
Yeah.
And then it's got all the murals on it. So, I mean, I know the city wants us, and they do support the arts as much as they can. We need some of the more affluent folks that live here to purchase art down here. That would be really good. I know that they're advertising up in New York for a lot of the artists here. But if they don't nurture it to the point where artists can afford to live here and work here, you're going to have to go. So the city definitely needs something like you all are talking about doing.
We just got to convince them with the grant. That's where all her research comes in. You have to find an example, show that the example is working, and then show your plans to somehow implement it. If you can make them believe, I mean, then the money's there.
Right, and that's kind of why, though, the specific property isn't nearly as important as it is a representation of what types of properties are available so that they can, you know, look at that. Because a lot of times, I mean, if you're putting together a grant, I don't know how quick the turnaround is, but it might be months before it's reviewed and or approved.
It'll be about 3 months.
And so a property that might have been available may not be available at that time, you know.
Right, true.
There's things like that.
Unless we could talk to the city and they could said, yes, if you get this grant, we'll wait for you and you can, you know, you can purchase it at that point. It's really just, you know, crossing your fingers, having the conversations and seeing what's going to happen.
So this is pretty early on, though. So right now what you need to do is you have to get the plans done for what you would build. And do you have, like, any sort of website for that where people could find it or donate or anything?
Kymatic.org, actually. We do have we still have to do a lot of updating, but we created a donation where you can become a member. It was based on us having a space, and so some of the membership perks were based on, like, getting in for shows for half off and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we have to update some of that, but, yeah, they can definitely go there and they can definitely donate either regularly, like, you know, $5 a month, you know, a cup of coffee, whatever, or do one one-time donation. And we'd love to have a couple of really big ones that would you know, get us into whatever property we want. But
that would be lovely.
It's something we can do even in a sustainable way where people can actually, $5, $20 a month, whatever it is, enough people. If we got 1,000 people doing that, we have all of our mortgage payments at that point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so
we could actually, like, move forward more quickly on finding a space at that point, because we could say it would even show well for the process of applying for grants, because it would show to these people that we already have communal support that's really viable, economically viable. And that if you can show that, then for some reason, if you can show that you're economically viable, they want to throw more money at you.
Sure.
That's how that works. So
that's unfortunate, one of those things. Yeah, that's how it works. So we got a few more minutes. I want to know, who am I missing? Who am I not seeing that's a really talented person? I'm sure there's tons, one that comes off the top of your head here.
Well, Shiloh Capone, who's helping working on the grant, she has been a huge part, you know, recently with that. And there's also Gary Butler, who's also on our board, and he is our lawyer and helps us with all of that stuff that would be hard to navigate.
That's with us, but I think what you're getting at, and I think it's not a person so much, it's the what the Iberian rooster's doing in their basement.
Yeah,
it's
cool stuff. Yeah.
It's hot. There, you could go see an opera. You could see open mic for with opera singers, live sketch comedy, comedic open mic. What am I missing here? We've seen so much good stuff. The open mic we saw last night was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like
we happened to walk in on a lot of time.
Yeah, they're doing. It's pretty cool.
It's a beautiful spot, too.
It's gorgeous. It makes you feel like you're part of the city down there.
I don't know if it was accidental, as in, like, you know, they just said, hey, bring us what you got. But there's a lot of magic that's happening in the space. I just hope it doesn't, you know, turn into all about, well, we need to always have this many people in, and always, you know, when you're a businessman, you can sometimes just always think about
The poetry night that they were doing there is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, those are heavy hitters.
Every
heavy
first
hitters
and third
poetry.
Sunday, they have a First Stop Poetry Fusion hosted by Mona, and it's incredible. And we featured that on one of our shows, actually. But I do know that I think the manager of another well-known bar in downtown St. Pete is now going to be the general manager there, too. They've been successfully putting out a lot of really good music out of that space. So I anticipate that he'll bring some stability and see what's working, what's magic, and then keep that going.
I got something just off the cuff, because when you see something, you're like, nobody else is doing this. Johnny Vapors on their open mic with Nick Boatwright, they're allowing them to do rap battles. Now, I know a lot of dudes in the city, you know, want to be rappers, and they're always practicing.
Sure.
And I thought, wow, that's a spot to go. So that's hot. His is on. What day, night was that on, Johnny Vapors?
Wednesday?
No. I think it's Tuesday. Tuesdays.
Yep. But, yeah, so.
That's right up there near Foo Bar up there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but he allows that. You don't see that often. And we saw some really good rappers going back and forth, so that was cool.
How do you guys feel about mixed open mics?
I love them.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that they'll have, instead of, like, you could see a comedian, and then you could see a musician, and then you could see a poet.
That was kind of the style that we had, and what Chuck put together at the last space, only the way he did it was he would start out with the comedians, and then he would go into the music, and then the poets.
So that was.
Yeah, it didn't, it actually, which you, I don't know if you're getting at this, but this, we found it didn't work unless we were very detailed about who you had, what the next act was.
And how you mixed them up.
It's a sad love song, and now you're up, Will.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So one of the things, and we listened to the comedians, actually. So the reason we did the comedians up front at first, and we evolved that, actually, but we did the comedians up front because the comedians suggested it. Like, you should do a comedy set up front and then do these other things. And I was like, oh.
Kind of warms the crowd up.
And because this is what they said. They were like, you don't want to go after a poet that's, like, all deep and intense. And then you're like, you have to bring the room into a different space.
Yeah, right.
So what I did after that is I built I love doing this, and I think it's really important. It's more work. But you put together basically a show instead of just an open mic. I did advanced sign-ups. And so people would know their time slot, when they're performing. What that also allowed me to do, though, it allowed me to create a flow of the event. So I wouldn't have a comedian going after a poet. I would always have a poet after a comedian, or after a comedian after a musician. So I was able to manage the energy in the room, so to speak, by being a little bit more organized. The other thing is that all the entertainers then can treat that as a show. They can say, hey, I'm performing at this time, and instead of like, hey, I'm going to go and we're going to sit around for 3 hours and hope we get to perform. And in any kind of popular open mic, that's sometimes the case. And so this is kind of a secret to success, but it doesn't matter. It's not rocket science. And if you're going to do it, it requires the work. It requires, at first, you reaching out to the artist, too. I mean, that's what I had to do it for.
Yeah, asking what works.
And then,
a lot of people don't.
Eventually,
do that.
I just opened it up, and sometimes the whole list would be full within 24 hours of the list being open by people contacting me. And then sometimes I would, I need a poet. You know, I put out, I need three poets for this night or something like that. And so... It built. It was a really, really cool thing. And like I said, there's some really magical elements in that. I encourage others to do that. Like I said, it's not like a secret, but it does require work. But I think there's some really good benefits to that.
You had to listen too. You have to listen to the performers. Yeah. If you're holding an event, you got to listen to them. You got to sit there. You got to listen to them because you really learn them. You kind of understand what would work better. You can start putting a rock show together based on the people you hear, and especially with comedians. It's like you start to learn who's hot, what in what type of angle or lack of a better word, feeling this comedian puts out, and kind of know where he would fit really well.
You know, figuring out who works well together.
Yeah, because some guys may have a lot of profanity in type of jokes and could never go over in church, but you could have a guy who's relatively clean and put him at an event. If someone's asking, you know, give me a good comedian.
Which we have a lot of that happen. People, you know.
Trying to get a Rolodex, too, going with all these names, and so we can, because we're getting, people ask all the time, like, you just ask, like, who's hot, who's good? You know, you're going in your mind, wow, that guy. But be able to, like, help them in the future, to be able to help them get a gig based on them being able to come to us. We've said, we've seen this guy's brand new. He's only got a year down, but his band's smoking hot.
So,
you know, like, so I would say, I'll give a shout out to, The Captain's Head. The Captain's Head is a new young band, and I loved them. And we had them do a performance already, but that's definitely a hot band.
Well, I'm going to bug you for people to send my way for these shows.
Yeah, you got it. That's perfect.
As far as hip-hop goes, I mean, some of my favorite like artists, Sleek, I love her. I love Infinite Skills.
The guy and girl duo out of Tampa.
Aja, Lorraine, and is it Ka?
They're with Low.
He's got a K name.
See, this is the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
There's too many. I hate to do it, but we got to go already. We're out of time. We're going to be stronger as a community, so we all got to work together,
and we'll
make it done. No doubt. Thank you all very much for coming in. Social media, give out.
Chymatic.
Chymatic, Facebook, Twitter.
Facebook/Chymatic and Chymatic.org.
Very good. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.
All right, there we go. Chymatic. Make sure you check them out. Facebook.com/Chymatic. Just Google Chymatic. You'll find it, I'm sure. No big deal. Like the homemade broadcast page, HMB Radio on Facebook, home_made_man on Twitter, Radio St. Pete on Twitter. That's it. Thanks for tuning in to the homemade broadcast right here on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned to Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next, and the Indie Circuit following that. If you're listening on podcast, thank you very much. Tell your friends. Get your stickers. Be homemade broadcast at RadioSaintPete.com. Send me your address, and I will send them to you. Have a great week. Will Koontz, homemade broadcast. See you next week. Bye-bye.